Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the Toon Review for what is another depressing episode on the most negative channel on YouTube. It's Newcastle United 1, Nottingham Forest 3, the review. Hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas, guys, apart from the football, obviously, which was absolutely terrible. But we'll come to that. We move on, don't we? It's typical of Newcastle United. We've been through the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations for so long now with Newcastle United. This is just another little speed hump in the road that we need to overcome. And of course, hopefully we will do that. A very difficult January is upon us. But if you do enjoy tonight's show, guys, please, as usual, give it the thumbs up. Very important to us to keep those likes coming in. And of course, if you're new, please do subscribe. Bottom right-hand corner, click the logo, click subscribe, and come and be part of this incredible community we have on the Toon Review here and now. And of course, you can become a member of the Toon Review if you do hit the join button just underneath the three of us. Some fantastic prizes and member perks, and we've got more coming up. And also, of course, if you'd like to donate to the channel tonight, you can hit that dollar sign at the bottom of the live comments. That will also guarantee your comment to be read out on the show. So I'm not sure whether this is actually going to be a counseling session for us all, or whether we're just looking for some kind of motivational speech to pick us all up and get going again. The transfer window, of course, is less than a week away. Are we going to see new signings coming in? That is the big question. Good evening, fellas.
Evening.
Hello.
And how are we feeling on this? The day after the day before, really. Are we happy? Are we optimistic? How are we?
I don't think optimistic is the word. Not with our fixtures coming up. I've got to be honest.
Yeah,
I think the only thing positive that's come out of this is kind of what we touched on a little bit is. We've had bad runs of form, and we've always had bounce backs. This is probably the worst it's been, so it's now surely going to instigate something. I don't know what that something is, whether it's going to be new players coming into the squad like Hall and playing a lot more, or is it going to be a tactical shift? Is it going to be transfers? But with what's happened, something's got to change. So that's possibly the only positive.
I'll tell you what surprised me was when I listened to Eddie Howe's comments after the game. Very strange, really strange comments. I've got a clip which I'll play shortly, but some of the things he said aren't in that clip. It was basically NUTV, basically just chatting to him. But he did come out and say, Billy, about the training, and that he thought we weren't far away yesterday. I mean, is that Eddie just deflecting away from his players again, or what did you make of it?
I made of it someone that's under pressure and trying to deflect. That's what I made of it. We were nowhere near anywhere where we wanted to be yesterday. And for him to say that we weren't far away from where we wanted, weren't far from it. We were close to being, in his kind of, without saying it, a good performance, was ridiculous in my opinion. It was deflective. It was to please the happy clappers, I guess. It certainly wasn't pleasing people that have got a critical view of football and know what they're talking about. Yeah. It certainly didn't impress me. I thought, well, that's Steve Bruce-esque, actually. What you're saying there, we were pretty awful.
It was a real surprise to me. And it's the first time I've really heard him say things like that. But again, when that match started yesterday, Billy, you'll remember how many times Nottingham Forest tried to play out in that first 15, 20 minutes. Mm. And we're completely hopeless at it. And we were sitting there thinking, wow, you know what I mean? This could be a big win for us today because they are terrible. I mean, really bad. They lost the ball so many times, but we got it in that final third and we couldn't do anything with it. And Alex, I noticed your tweet on during the match asking the question, did Miggy go to score an own goal there? I mean, he seemed to forget where he was.
I mean, Miggy wasn't good enough at all yesterday. He's not been good enough for a while. It's really irritating because he's getting himself in good positions. He reminds me a lot of Dwight Gayle. He's such a bridesmaid of a player. He's almost a really good player, because Dwight Gayle was reasonably clinical, quite intelligent, but just didn't quite have enough to be a decent Premier League player. Miggy, I would say, is an okay Premier League player. He had a good purple patch. He's useful. He's got skill sets that others don't. His energy, his relentlessness. But I feel like there are other clinical wingers out there that wish they'd got what Miggy's got in build-up, because Miggy gets himself into such great positions super often. Yeah, and doesn't really do enough with it. You know, I think he could have had a couple of goals. If it's a different player, he could have scored two. It's just a shame, because he's 7 or 8 tenths of the way there, and he's just missing bits of his game to be the player that we really want him to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes it goes well for him. Things that he touches just keep going in the net, and he has these purple patches. But you know, we need somebody who's a little bit more consistent. I'd be happy to drop 10% work rate if we had a bit more consistency out of a player and knew what we were going to get.
Yeah, to be honest, it wasn't just Miggy, though, was it, yesterday? You know, it was just awful. You know, there was players out there yesterday who shouldn't have been on that pitch for the second 45, and we will come to that, because, again, questions are asked about that. Yogi, thank you for gifting a Toon Review membership, a regular donator of membership. That is very kind, matey. And that has gone to Niall Powell. So, Niall, you are now a member for a month, and hopefully will continue after your free month. Baza Brush, thank you for your super chat. He says, I believe in Howe. He's unfortunately working with players still not at his level, considering how many of his transfers have been out injured. It's a good point. And look, I'll reiterate again, I don't want Eddie Howe to be sacked. Okay, I need to make that clear, because some of the comments on my reaction video yesterday were nothing but pathetic, accusing me of being an armchair fan and accusing me of secretly wanting Eddie Howe sacked and all of this. I don't want Eddie Howe out at all. I still believe that Eddie Howe can become a legend if he learns from mistakes. And that is the important thing for me, guys, because I think, like the players, Eddie has been on a journey as well this season and has to, you know, do things differently if he comes up against the same sort of problems. This is the first time that Eddie's been, let's just say, having his collar felt at the moment with the pressure, 6 defeats in 7. He is under pressure, Billy, but from himself more than anybody.
Yeah, he's a victim of his own success in many ways. Nobody expected Champions League football last season. The amount of games we've played this season will be part of that. But he hasn't managed his squad correctly, I don't think, in this season. And it is a learning curve for him. But I don't think if we'd have played Europa League, he'd have still played the same system. He'd have still played the same way. He'd have still wanted to win every game. He'd have still put his best side out every game and wouldn't have rested players. And people say that, you know, the transfer window was a bit of a misdemeanor with the injuries and suspensions that have come from it. And they have. It's correct. He's still got players that he hasn't played that have been brought into the club, like Lewis Hall, for instance. So... Yeah. You know, it's not a one-way street by any shadow of the imagination. He does have to learn, and I hope he does learn. Because if he doesn't, I don't think he'll be in the job much longer.
Yeah. Billy Thriller, thank you for your super chat. He says, we need a Johan Kabay. Final third, no creativity. Paul says, worry this season is things have been all season. It started away at Man City. We sat off them, and that continued in all the away games. Our negative defensive play does not work, plus no press. Yeah, I mean, look, I've said a million times watching us this season that we, you know, but then again, saying the homes, listen, Fulham, remember, I mean, I know we beat Fulham 3-0, Alex, but that first half before the sending half, we weren't great there either. It took a big swing in that game, and then we started to get going. So the form hasn't been good home and away for a few weeks now.
I mean, the red card won us that game. If 11 men are on the pitch, both sides for the 90 minutes, that... Do we still win that game?
We didn't play well.
Possibly. It's just a few things aren't working. And we've not been playing good at the moment, and there's not really any option to change it. We've really, really missed Joe Linton. We can't use Tonali. We haven't got any different ways of shoring it up. We're getting absolutely battered in transition. it's been too many changes at the back too frequently, which Eddie Howe doesn't want. We know he doesn't want that, but he has been kind of forced into that to a point. But then he can make different decisions with personnel selection, so it is kind of on him. I do feel like injuries have hampered him somewhat. Well, maybe not injuries. Unavailability, we'll say, is a net phrase, because, you know, Harvey Barnes and Tenali were players that he wanted in the door to try and kick on and play a certain way this season. They've not been available at all. And then when you couple that with Miggy and Longstaff and certain players, is it reverting to type? Is it maybe playing or just having a worse run of form? It's a mixture. It's difficult to say what it is exactly. And it's a combination of that. But I think to stop this, we need to sort out the back four. We need Dubravka to be a bit more aggressive as well. And we need to stop getting absolutely killed in transition. I think Dan Byrne against certain teams shouldn't play. I mentioned this at the start of the season and everybody battered me for it, saying, I hate Dan Byrne. It's not fair. Big Dan Byrne's amazing. He's from Blyth. And I said at the beginning of the season, Dan Byrne's going to be a really useful squad player and should be selected against certain opponents for his profile. He shouldn't just be blanket used all the time because he's Big Dan Byrne. Yesterday showed that was completely the wrong matchup. Just because he's had a few good games against some world-class players doesn't mean it's the answer all the time. And I feel like we just need to use the squad better. But it's a combination. It's so hard to figure out whose fault it is. But we just, I think, first things first, let's stop getting destroyed in transition, because that's really hurting us. Because we're trying to be this dominant team, but then we can't stop counterattacks. You know, Cher follows the ball. If Gordon's not back or Miggy's not back, we've got no help. And we just trip over each other. Yesterday, you know, Craig Hope and a bunch of other people kept screenshotting about the counterattack. It was 5-on-4. Why was it 5-on-4? Why did nobody notice that? They're all good enough to notice that. Coaching staff as well. It's from a goal kick, 5-on-4. Sort your lines out, sort your numbers out. Who's marking who? So it needs sorting out. And
that's the problem, Alex, having your most creative player playing in the sixth role.
Yeah, and I think this is why we need Calvin Phillips. I know he's not the best out-and-out natural six, but is he?
Hey, listen, Alex, given the situation we're in at the minute, Calvin Phillips, let's be honest here. He's not a bad footballer. We were raving about him when he was at Leeds. You know, so we were raving about
him. He's just had a bunch of coaching under Pep Guardiola, so he can't be bad at all. Yeah. I think probably the most important transfer now is to just priority number one has to be a midfielder that can come in and understands a bit of how to stop this. There's just constant countered on the transition, who has a bit more defensive mentality, good in the tackle, good positional awareness, can smell the danger. We need a bit. We just need another one of that. Whatever that is, we need that. Yeah. Whether it's Phillips or not, who knows? But we need that. That has to be the priority. Not a goalkeeper, not a right winger, not an additional striker. Because that is where we're conceding goals right now. We scored a goal yesterday. We created 2.43 XG. So, in my opinion, creativity, right, we're not hitting the back of the net as much as we should. But it's kind of there to a point. It's there-ish.
It's quality in the final third.
We're conceding so many goals. We need to stop that. That's the priority. Well,
look, I'm going to come on to that. Yogi's just gifted another membership. Thank you, Yogi. That one went to Jackie Nicholson. So thank you again, Yogi. Baza Brush, thank you for another super chat. He says, not many gaffers live and breathe football like Eddie Howe. Toon Gamer, thank you for your super chat. He says, there was no leadership yesterday, which was bad. We seem to. But I want to bring up
the issue with Trippier going on a bit of a bad run of form,
which, by the way,
suddenly lose his leadership because he's nervous.
Which, by the way, Trippier has come out and said that
his interview was great.
His interview was absolutely superb. A very, very honest. Took it all on his shoulders that he is not playing very well. He needs to get going again. You know, yes, the team isn't at that level, but he as an individual is nowhere near at the level he expects to be at. And it was a very, very strong statement from Kieran Trippier. So they have to back these up, of course, and come back against Liverpool stronger. But I want to bring up the goalkeeper because Chippers, thank you very much for your super chat. Miggy, Byrne and Longstaff all need upgrading. We need a CDM as Bruno lacks the discipline as a six. Interesting. Alan Shearer on Match of the Day called out Dubravka, even for the goals, and called out his positioning.
I didn't like Dubravka's positioning either.
I must admit, Alex, I took you to task on it, and I'm wrong, because I've gone back and looked at it again, and his positioning is absolutely horrific.
I mean, it's not completely his fault. You know, the move doesn't start with Dubravka being out. But, you know, the problem is when 3, 4, 5 elements of our game break down all at once, you get that's when you concede 3 goals.
Exactly. But look, this guy has conceded an abundance of goals since he's come in for Nick Pope. You look at goals conceded before and after Pope's injury. I mean, it's there. It's fact. It's there for all to see. You know, Martin Dubravka is past it for me. Very much. But he did some decent things yesterday, which we highlighted. However, his positioning is coming out. You know, coming out of his area or closing people down is just it's. There's nothing. There is nothing there. So I think Alan Shearer was right. Alex, you were right. His positioning. But Billy, you've had a thing with Dubravka for a long time now that you've thought he is well past it. So, you know, we're talking about getting a CDM in, but I think a goalkeeper is a necessity as well. I think that the spine of the team is a necessity here. Goalkeeper, CDM, striker, and then possibly on the right-hand side as well. So we have a busy January, Billy.
Well, I don't think the first one was his fault. I don't think you can blame him for that one, but it's the second and third, and certainly the third where if Nick Pope was playing, I think he gets there before Chris Wood does. I think he reads the situation and comes out and sweeps up. The second one, I thought he went down a bit too easily, actually, and made it easy for Chris Wood. But the first one, you can't blame him for. But yeah, I mean, this is why we bought Nick Pope in the first place, because he marshals the defence better. The defence can play high up the pitch. And if they want to play offside, if they don't want to play offside, they're high up the pitch and the keeper sweeps behind them. Yesterday, we were high up the pitch trying to play an offside trap, running behind us, and there was no one there to stop it. And Dubravka was stuck to 6-yard line. So, yes, goalkeeper's important. I don't think David De Gea is the answer by any stretch of the imagination, because he's another one of those type of goalkeepers. But, a decent sweeper, keeper, goalkeeper, a CDM, which, I mean, Eddie Howe thought we had 6 at the beginning of the season. One of them was Tonali, so now I think we've got 2. I'm assuming that's Longstaff and Bruno. I'm not sure we'll go after a 6 if Phillips don't come. I think we need one. And a striker in right wing. So 4 players really deserve FFP stretch to that. I doubt it very much. So it's going to be make do with whatever we can get, I think.
Yeah. Kari, thank you for your 10 Norwegian kroner. A very kind matey. Mason says, I thought Dan Byrne dislocated his shoulder. Well, it certainly looked that way, but it does every game. He's admitted that. It pops out and pops back in. That's why he keeps the strapping on it. But look, before we hear from Eddie Howe, Alex, that decision to play Dan Byrne yesterday, for me, I've said my piece on it. I think it was the wrong decision, and I don't see what Livramento has done to... Yes, fine, rest him against Luton, but yesterday there was no excuse for not playing Livramento. Dan Byrne got exposed many times down that side, and Livramento's been one of our best players in the last, 7 to 8 games through all this, yet he leaves him out again.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about several of them. I think Joe Linton should have started the game as well. I think it was abundantly clear we needed the physicality. We really struggled in the first 20 minutes of the game because Miley and Bruno got man-marked by Sangare and Morgan Gibbs-White. And it took us 20 minutes to try and change something. And I mentioned this yesterday. It was Botman stepping into midfield and creating more space for them, and then other players were moving around. But again, it was very reactive. So Callum Wilson and Livramento came on at 55 minutes. So we were 2-1 down at that point. And then 60 minutes, he scored the third goal. And then he brought Joe Linton on, 71st, and Lewis Hall, 79th. I think they all should have started the game, ideally. Okay, there's a case to be made for maybe not starting Isak and Callum Wilson and Gordon, for maybe that's a bit overkill. Who do you sub on if somebody gets injured? Fine. But Livramento for Byrne is a bit safer. Joe Linton instead of someone else is also a bit safer, ideally Longstaff. And Lewis Hall, again, means you can keep Byrne on the bench. And if something happens, you can bring Byrne on. I think this is it now. This is the cutoff where we can't have the favourites. There's got to be... I think we're going to have to keep coming back to this point. There's got to be changes now. You're absolutely right. There's no reason why Livramento didn't deserve to be in the side. He's got a season under his belt with Southampton. I think he's more than proved himself across different levels for us in multiple competitions this season. He's stepped up. He's played multiple positions. He's a good lad. He's a good player. There's got to be changes now. If I see in the first few games of January, if I see squads involving Miggy, Longstaff, and Byrne in the starting lineups straight away, I'm not going to be happy about that. And again, that's my problem as a fan. I've got to deal with that. But I just think this is it now. He's got to try some other things, whether it's going to involve a tactical shift to try and compensate for deficiencies being hurt in transition, or whether it's a personnel shift. We've got to start seeing some changes, because I think the only way that Eddie Howe gets out of this, and best case scenario for him is he continue playing the same players, then he starts winning and we all get proved wrong. But does anybody else think that's going to happen? You think we're going to keep playing Miggy right wing, Byrne left back, and suddenly start winning all of our games? I'd be shocked. Yeah. I'd be shocked.
Interesting comment here. We all have an opinion. The Tune Review view isn't always the right one to all that watch these streams. Some people want to remember this. Well, we're not saying we're right.
You always disagree with our opinions because you do it regularly. So,
yeah. Nick Thornton, thank you for your super chat. He says, our midfield breaks down so easily without Joe Linton. Which is what I was surprised Joe didn't come on for Sean at halftime. Sean's been off form lately. But look, I'm not going to shout Sean Longstaff down. He's going through a rough patch, as a lot of players are. But I think Sean is still a very, very necessary squad member for us, and he's still got a lot to offer. And by the way, congratulations to Sean. Just announced that he's going to be your dad, which is fantastic news. And my old mate David, his dad, obviously going to be a granddad, which is great news. And hope everything goes well with that pregnancy for Sean.
Let's get him on target then.
Yes, but you know, I still think he's got stuff to offer. Billy, that was so harsh. I cut like a knife. But anyway, let's hear from Eddie Howe. It's about a minute and 30 long, this interview with Eddie, and see what you guys think of his post-game interview.
Yeah, difficult game for us. I thought we Nick's performance, really, some good in the first half. A lot of good, actually. A lot of good build-up play, probably until the final third, and then just the final bit missing, the rhythm not quite there. Second half was a little bit more difficult. I think we lost our way a little bit and they grew into the game and became more of a transitional threat.
You took the lead in the first half but then conceded on the stroke of half-time. How difficult was conceding at that point and given the more of a control you had in that first half?
Yeah, I think the first goal we conceded is a cruel moment for us because, as you say, bang on half-time, the difference between 1-0 and 1-1 at that moment in momentum is big, and we're inches away possibly from making it 2-0 for us, and then we get caught with a sucker punch. But we only have to look at ourselves and blame ourselves for that moment. And I think it was probably a key moment in the game looking back now.
Chris Wood, he completed his hat-trick in the second half. Forest were tough to deal with on the break and transitions during that game. How disappointing was it to concede those goals in that manner, because it's unlike the defence this season?
Yeah, I think we haven't probably been as good defensively as we've wanted to be in recent weeks. So, changes to our back four today, I don't think we look totally secure. But we'll have to look and analyse why. And, as always, that's probably the best way to look at it.
So there you go. That was Eddie Howe. Now, what really pees me off, guys, and we've spoken about this before, is the questions that are asked to him. You know, we'll come to what you're thinking in a minute, Alex. Just, I'd like somebody to stand in front of Eddie Howe and say, what were you thinking by putting Dan Byrne in ahead of Livramento? What has Livramento done to be left out? Why did you wait until we fell behind until you made the change? Why wasn't that change, which was blatantly obvious to all the fans, make it at half time instead of waiting 10 minutes into the half when we fell behind? I mean, And coming out and saying that, we did some good things in the first half, I don't know, guy. It kind of swung me. He mentioned,
I think we looked good between 20 minutes and
We looked good until we got to the final third, Alex. We put some lovely moves together, but it was just in that final third, the quality was not there to put the ball in the back of the net. You know, we had some, Bruno made some lovely touches on a couple of attacks that got us into the penalty area, and we just went to pieces again. And also he made a comment in another interview about the training and that he hasn't had the players on the training pitch much. And that's the problem. So I think he's just, he's looking for excuses here.
Can't believe you.
Billy?
Well, yeah, I said earlier, it's defective, isn't it? It's trying to take what actually happened, because I mean, you kind of made out that the transitional stuff only happened in the second half. It happened four or five times in the first half. We were looking to go in half-time, one apiece, really. Because if Langwood had squared the ball across instead of shooting, it would have been 2-1 down. And you know, they had two or three other opportunities where they hit us on the counter, plus a long throw, which was flicked on and nearly went in for a header. So, yeah, I don't think we were particularly good or okay first half. We were level, but I thought we were looking to be level. But we were better first half, we were second, certainly.
Alex, what were you going to say before?
Well, you mentioned right at the end there about forced changes to the back four. Yeah. Well, it was only one, because he changed the other one.
Yeah.
With Burn Valivramento. I think that's a bit cheeky. I think a forced change of bringing Botman and Cher back in as the centre-half partnerships is not... That's not a, it's not a negative, bad change. Those are the two centre-halves that basically made this team what they are. That partnership was outrageous. So the only real, I mean, I don't think the force change is an issue. I think that's positive. You're upgrading the centre halves and you're playing two people in positions that they've been used to, that they've played a lot more minutes in. The only implemented change was his own choice to put Burn in instead of Valivramento
from last season. So I think that's why I found that statement a little bit strange.
It was a strange statement. I don't think it's appropriate, or it makes sense. It doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that the training issue I can kind of agree with. I think a manager likes to get his players on the training pitch and work on things. But, you know, come on, we're at Christmas time now. They've had plenty of time to get things right. And I don't think, you know, certainly the training pitch, Billy, doesn't give you desire and hunger, because we haven't had any desire and hunger for a couple of games now. It's been missing. We've been out-hungered, if you like, by Luton Town and Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, without a doubt. There was no desire there yesterday, second half, and there weren't any at all Saturday. You know, the first thing they need to learn when they go onto the training ground on, well, what it would have been today, is the offside trap. You know, you've got to have one line and not two.
Yeah,
That's one thing I'd say straight away, because that's a sign that there's not a lot of training being done because they weren't uniform. They've also got to change the way they play with a different goalkeeper. They haven't obviously had time to work on that. So there is stuff to work on. And, you know, there must have been some training going on, because there's been different corner routines that we've seen that we haven't seen before. So
yeah, that's true. Know, a lot of set piece changes.
So have they kind of prioritised set pieces over basics? It looks like it to me.
I did see comments yesterday saying, oh, they were disappointed with Kieran Trippier's set pieces yesterday. I thought Kieran Trippier's set pieces were absolutely fine yesterday. There was a couple of them off, but the majority were exactly where we'd been saying we wanted to see him put the ball, on corners and free kicks, which was right on the sort of between the 6-yard area and the penalty spot. But how many times did me and Billy say yesterday, there's nobody there? You know, we've got so much height in that penalty box. We just, for some reason, aren't utilising it.
Do you want the data?
Yes, please.
19 crosses.
Mm-hmm.
3 found someone.
Yeah, but that's not whether that's fault.
Whether that's the positioning of the receiving players or whether that's Kieran or a combination of the two. But to try 19 crosses and to only hit 3, it's poor. That's really poor.
Yeah. I mean, look, but Billy, we did say it during commentary numerous times, saying that's a great ball into the box. It's cleared away because there was nobody making a challenge. And when you've got the size of, you've got Botman, you've got Cher, you've got Isak, you've got Burn, you've got some very, very, you know, big players in there, you know, but for some reason, these guys are better at, you know, defensive headers, and they mustn't be practicing their attacking ones, because nobody ever gets on the end of the bloody thing.
Well, he hit the right areas, didn't he? The first half, 6-7 times, he hit the right areas in between the goalkeeper and the penalty spot. Nobody getting ahead on it. Forest players clearing it, whatever. The actual set piece themselves, I thought, were fine. I thought I'd trip his set piece yesterday at one point, I thought. The vast majority of anyway.
I mean, look, I've said this about corners a million times. Corners, you know, the ball goes out for a corner and the crowd, you know, get going and then get in. Technically, a corner is only a cross into the box. I mean, you know, we for some reason, and this has gone on for years and years at Newcastle, we struggle to convert corners. The odd time we'll get one. The rest of the time, you know, the ball is cleared away. We head over the bar or whatever it is. So, you know, things definitely need to be worked on the trainer pitch. There is no doubt about that. But I think, you know, the experience that we have within that squad would say to me that, yeah, training is important because it brings up the camaraderie and everything like that. It gets you ready. But that match situation for the experience these players have got, to see them play like that over the last few games, and let's be honest, Chelsea was rotten as well. You know, it's... I mean, is there a hangover? Is there sort of a massive hangover from being knocked out of the cup competitions recently? You know, going out to Europe in the way we did, you know, losing in the Carabao the way we did. Has that last couple of games been a little bit of a hangover that they just need to, you know, shake out of the system?
I don't feel like that's an excuse. They've played a lot of games in recent times, but I just want to build on the point you were saying before about Trippier. I hate when he takes left-sided corners. Because then defensively, I mean, we're talking about constantly getting hit in the transition being an issue at the moment. Well, why is your right back taking corners on the opposite side of the pitch? I hate it. I hate it. I understand that Kieran Trippier is generally considered a good set piece taker, but I just hate it so much. And this is why I was so excited to bring Tonali in. And I think it cannot be overstated how much of a loss Tonali is, because he was... And I honestly don't think that we saw the best of Tonali at all. I think what everyone saw of Tonali, for people who don't watch European football or other leagues, what we saw of him is not him. That was a shadow of what he can give us. At Milan, he was doing some outrageous things. And for Italy, he is better than we've even seen. We saw glimpses of it first game of the season against Villa. And once the whole gambling thing was out in the air, he actually put in a couple of really interesting performances. And we just miss him so much because he can play eight, he can play six, he can ping a pass, he can play set pieces. He's very fast. He's physically strong. And it's exactly what we need at the moment. He's not there. Yeah.
Well, look, do you honestly think Tonali would have been able to take set piece? I mean, he didn't take any while he was going to play.
Yeah, I mean...
I think that the option to rotate's there, isn't it? So...
But look, we watched Tonali. We watched a lot of him in the summer, of course. And it's clear now that when Tonali signed for Newcastle, he had the world on his shoulders. And I expect
he's a great player.
Yeah, when he comes back from his ban, I think we'll see a very, very different Sandro Tonali, because he won't have that on his shoulders anymore. He won't be expecting the kind of hypothetical knock on the door regarding betting. It's all out the way now. It's all gone, and he can concentrate on his football. So that's obviously for next season now. But I do want to shout out Chris Wood as well, because, listen, we gave him pelters on here, and Newcastle fans gave him pelters in general. And he had every right yesterday to rub it in our faces by celebrating those goals, and he didn't. He was very, very...
But he deserved the pelters at the time because he did perform...
Yeah, absolutely.
...below what he could. He was
very pragmatic yesterday by scoring the goals and not rubbing it in the Newcastle United fans' faces, because he could easily have done that and said, there, stick that up your arses.
However, we give Chris Wood stick... Yesterday, he had Callum Hudson-Odoi and Alanga creating space for him.
Yeah.
For us, he had Ryan Fraser. Just remember that. That's the difference.
He scored a cracking goal for Southampton, actually, at the weekend, but we'll gloss over that.
We don't talk about him anymore.
No. Dean Charlton, thank you for your super chat. Very kind. Thank you so much. Chris Wood will never score a hat-trick again and won't get easier chances. It's because we were shocking. I think Chris Wood, the first goal he couldn't miss. I think he could have had another tap in, had Alanga pass to him. The second goal, I think he took very well. He was very composed around Dubravka, whatever we think of Dubravka's positioning. He still had to finish it. And he also had to finish the third. You know, the second one was when he outdone Dan Byrne, wasn't it? So he still did well. He nutmegged Dan Byrne and then chipped it over Dubravka. And the third one, you know, he's breaking away. He has a lot of time before he has to make his decision what he wanted to do, but he did it well. Look, I've got nothing against
Chris Wood. What you've got to say about it is, and it's true that Chris Wood operates best in the two. Yesterday, we defended that badly. He looked okay in a one. There's no way on God's earth you can ever say Chris Wood is a off the last shot, last defender's shoulder kind of strike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely not. Yeah, he scored two goals like it yesterday. So, yeah, that's how bad we defended.
Yeah, I agree. And look, it wasn't our day. It was one of them that we need to forget. But then again, how often are we going to be saying this? Because we're coming into a run of games now, which I genuinely think make or break our season. Because if we come out of January, we've got, you know, Liverpool away, we've got Man City at home, we've got Villa away, and we've also got the derby after the Liverpool game. These are four massive, massive games coming up, Alex. And, you know, the confidence to get anything out of the three Premier League games is diminishing very, very quickly.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've set me up lovely there.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. So I'm going to start sounding like a broken record here, but it is about getting them on the training pitch. There are worse signs in recent weeks of us trying to go back to basics with intensity, 1-2 passes. We've seen it. We saw it at Fulham. We need more of that, because that's ultimately what Eddie Howe's about, is the fundamentals of coaching. That's what he implemented when he first came in, is he was straight on the pitch working with the lads. It's an area of coaching he's never been in before, because he's always had a lot more time with his players, whereas now it's different. He's taken that step up into, instead of just football, it's now Hollywood football. You're playing way too many fixtures. You've got so many injuries. You're not getting time on the training pitch. He's not able to implement maybe some of what he can. Maybe not making the right decisions all the time happens. But this next month, it's just about trying to keep the lads' mentality up. He's a very interesting coach with his psychology and the way he talks to the players. You know, he went on the High Performance podcast. He talks about, he's always trying to learn about how to be a better person, a more successful person. He talks about motivation, and I'm sure he does it with his players and the coaching staff. Well, they're all on the same page. Yeah. And it's about just trying to share that message with the group and just trying to make sure that we can just shore things up a little bit, back to basics, back to what the team identity is. Bit of rotation, maybe take some players out the firing line, and hopefully get some players through the door as well. Yeah. I mean, what else can we do? I mean, that's it, isn't it? That's basically it. There's not really anything else we can do.
Yeah, I mean, C15 Rise, you have to be the most optimistic fan on here. Liverpool won't batter us. But tell me why they won't batter us. That's what I want to know. It's all right you're making a statement like that, but
I mean, mate, it's a very us thing to do, to go and beat Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Listen, we've proved we can compete with them at Anfield, absolutely. But, you know, not when we're playing like this. And like we said earlier on in the show, things have to change on that starting 11. You know, he can't play this same team, because we know some players are bang out of form. They will come back into form. But leaving the likes of Livramento, who's been one of our shining lights for weeks on end, just sticking him on the bench for two games, I think is wrong. C15 Rise comes back and says, I believe similar... I don't know what that word is.
You're going to have to write vaguely in English for Paul to
team in neck and neck with us will be more of a surprise. Okay. Well, listen, we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. But you know what? It is just for like Newcastle to go on a run of games where we'll compete with the best and get points out of the best. But the way it is at the minute, you know, we have to be realistic, guys. You know, and again, that's not being negative. We're being realistic. You know, what in the last few games has given us the optimism that we're going to, you know, get points from Liverpool, Man City, or even back? You know, I know Villa, you know, they didn't beat Sheffield United, and Man United came back and won 3-2 last night. But Villa are a very, very good side at home and will be up for the game. And we have to compete with them. So, Billy, I think these, you know, I've seen a comment earlier on in the chat there just saying, if Newcastle lose to Sunderland, do the fans turn on Eddie Howe? Or will the fans turn on Eddie Howe? Or if we lose to Sunderland and we get nothing out of the Premier League games, what happens then?
I think his job is under serious consideration, I've got to say. If we get beat by Sunderland and I think the Sunderland one is the key one. I think we expect to lose at Liverpool. Man City at home could be another one of last season's games where we fight to our heart's content. And I think we will fight to our heart's content at Liverpool. I think there's too much recent history between the two clubs for us to go down there and lie down and let them roll over us. So I think I'm a bit more optimistic about Liverpool than some are. Man City at home, I think the same. Villa away, they struggle against a low block, so there are little bits of stream.
Yeah, I mean, Man City haven't been great this season.
No.
A little bit of a bumpy road. Liverpool are playing fantastically well right now. There's no doubt about that. Liverpool, out of all the teams in the Premier League at the moment, are on that crest of a wave. Liverpool will win the title this season.
The point I'm trying to make is those three games are against sides that we're not expected to beat exactly. The Sunderland one away is similar to the Luton one away, the Nottingham Forest one at home, the Bournemouth one away, where we're expected to win, and teams are going to try. They're going to give it 150%, aren't they? They're going to kick us as far as they can. They're going to be little rats. They're going to be work harder, try and beat us that way. And that's the kind of game where I think we're struggling, and we have struggled this season. So that's the one that concerns me. And if we lose that, he may well lose the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of fans are saying, well, he's got credit in the bank. Eddie Howe, on one of his interviews yesterday, said the credit in the bank stuff is nonsense for him and the players. It's about the here and now. And he understands the situation. He understands what he needs to do as manager of the football club. But he also said the players have to be better as well. So, you know, credit in the bank for Eddie Howe is not something that exists. And credit in the bank with PIF, I don't think exists either, because they are winners. But listen, I'm not even going to talk about that, because I'm fully behind Eddie Howe, despite what some people throw at me. I'm very much behind Eddie Howe. But it's time to move on to the player ratings for yesterday. So get yours in the chat, guys, as we go through each individual player. Let's see if you agree with what we've got to say tonight. We'll start off with, obviously, the goalkeeper, Martin Dubravka, and we'll go with you first, Alex.
That's a tough one. I'll go with 3. I mean, he made a couple of smart stops and then let in 3 goals, and I don't like that he doesn't sweep, and that's not his fault because it's not his game, but I don't care. It's our game, and he's had a long time to try and learn it or improve. Or I'm going to give him 3. I don't think he's right for our team anymore. I love what he used to do for the club, and he was amazing, but for how we try and play, I don't think Dubs works anymore. So 3. Really?
Can't blame him for the first goal. I thought he played pretty well first half, actually. Second half, he was back to his shaky and confident self. Hesitation, which killed us. I think three's fair.
Well, I've gone with a 4, but again, for the same similar reasons, to be honest. But a lot of 3s and 4s and a couple of 5s in the chat. Certainly, I haven't seen anything higher than that, to be honest. You know, 5 seems to be the top limit that the fans are going to. Some have given them 1s. But Root Cause says shitting on the goalkeeper is hilarious. Well, we're not shitting on him. It's how he played. We're reviewing this game. And, you know, go back and see what Shearer said about it. Go back and watch the performance. Right, Kieran Trippier, Billy.
Set pieces are okay. He's not his usual self, I've got to say. He's not the usual standard we expect from him. Played onside for the third goal, of course. Played the Chris Wood onside, so I fault for that not being in the right line, but I'll give him a 4.
Okay. Yeah, I've gone with a 4 as well. I think he's looking right across that line. And I'm really disappointed with it, because, you know,
did it Everton as well?
It's not. Yeah, he did. And I think that's, but, you know, I have to once again, you know, say hats off to him for coming out and doing that interview and actually being brutally honest about not just the team, but himself. And it's a nice relief for a player to come out and do that when he knows he's not playing well and he knows he needs to kick up the arse himself. And he gives it to himself in public, which I think was a very brave thing to do for Kieran, given what he's been through. So, we all know he's got the quality. And it's just a question of coming back into form for Kieran. Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a 4, but he possibly even deserve lower. I mean, Foxy's just hit the nail on the head there. I was literally just going to say it. He needs to be professional fouling. He could have stopped a situation, take the yellow. Set pieces were poor. Physicality was poor. 2 out of 7 ground duel. Total duels wasn't his usual self. Offside line as well was him. I want to say something nice. I don't know. I mean, there wasn't really anything nice. It's a 4. It's a 4. Sorry, Kieran. It's a 4.
Okay. Right, move across to Dan Byrne. I'm giving him a one. I thought he was tragic yesterday. Absolutely tragic. He just got outdone every single time they came down that side. To be messied by Chris Wood for the second goal. I mean, what the hell? I just don't understand what he was doing. So I'm not dwelling on it. Just a one. Billy?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard watching them getting burned time and time again. No pun intended either. But that's not his fault. I don't think he should have been playing. I don't think it's been fair on Dan Byrne to play him against that kind of pace. And he's a professional footballer. He should be able to deal with it, but he didn't. He was awful. And the goal where Chris Wood took him to the cleaners was shocking, really. Although I do have questions why it's him doing the covering, I've got to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give him a two.
Rani Granny says, Alanga made Dan Byrne look like Paul Gallant and gives him a one. Alex?
I'm trying to find reasons to give him higher than a one, and I'm kind of struggling. I mean, he won his only aerial duel, which is expected of him. I mean, his passes were 74% accuracy. Great. Yeah, I'm going to give him a one, but I agree with what Billy said. I don't think he should have been on the pitch. Mm. I think it was a mismatch. I think it was unfair. I think with players like Anthony and stuff, when he got matched up against players like that who were going to cut inside, fine. There are matchups where it makes sense, especially when he's fully fit. But with the run of form we're in at the moment and the way Alanga plays, he just kept knocking it into space and just running past him as a traditional winger. And it's just a complete mismatch. He should have changed it a lot earlier than he did.
Mm-hmm. Sven Botman, Billy.
Yeah, first half I thought it was excellent. And I don't think he was at fault for any of the goals. I'll give him a six.
Alex?
Oh, I really want to give him a high mark, but I know people are going to batter me for it, as people do, because they don't look at the context. I'm going to give him a seven. I thought he was incredible. I thought he was brilliant in this game. He wasn't at fault with the high line. He was trying to make the recovery runs. He wasn't at fault for anything that happened, in my opinion. Byrne got caught ball watching. Cher got caught following the ball a couple of times. Botman didn't get involved in any of that hash mistakes. There were no offside lines that were wrong. Botman was the reason why we turned it on in the first half and why we ultimately got the penalty and we got the goal. He stepped into midfield. He was physical. 51 out of 54 passes, 94% pass accuracy, putting the others to shame. He was outrageous. He's a good player. I'm going to give him a seven for that. I understood we conceded three, but I don't think he was in the wrong positions and is the reason why we conceded anything. I don't think he was the issue. He was fine.
I've given him a six because on the performance level, I thought he did okay. Coming back from injury, he looks his imposing self, but I just think that the whole team for me were off yesterday, and I can't give a higher than a six when we've lost 3-1 Nottingham Forest. Mm. Although his performance,
in the chat, I don't agree with that. Just because, you know, we've had games we've conceded a few based off Kieran Trippier mistakes. Does that mean the entire defence gets downgraded? Because
no. I just thought Botman's performance was a six, and that's my opinion, Alex. Yeah. You can agree or disagree, my man. But
it's people saying that you can't rate a defender
highly. I don't understand why people are giving him twos and threes. I think that's ludicrous.
No, but it's not that. It's specific. It's people saying you can't rate a defender highly if you've conceded loads of goals or some goals. That's nonsense. That's nonsense because it depends how those goals happen.
In my opinion, I think he was a six. We'll move on to Fabian Scher, Alex.
I'm going to give him a... Oh, that's a tricky one. On paper, he looks actually quite good, but I wasn't super impressed by what we got a lot of visually. I'm going to go with the four. 90% passing accuracy. He got seven accurate long balls, which on paper looks great, but I felt was at fault with the line, was at fault with just following the ball too much on the counter-attacks. I guess trying to put out fires that he maybe shouldn't have been trying to put out. He should have been a little bit more aware of who he should have been following. Yeah. Yeah, I can't give him any higher than that.
No problems. Billy?
I have a massive problem with the Fabian Schär's performance yesterday. I thought it was appalling. I thought it was disgusting. The way he acted on the pitch, lack of concentration, lack of desire. His passing fine, okay, forward thinking great, defensively awful. AWOL for the first goal. AWOL, completely AWOL for the second goal. Can't really blame him for the third as such, but that high line, obviously, is not his fault. That's how we play. But his desire and his attitude and things like that. And I'm going to give him a one. I thought it was absolutely piss poor awful.
A one?
1 out of 10.
Okay.
Completely AWOL on two of the goals. Completely AWOL.
Okay. I've gone with a four. I thought he was certainly not at his best, and he hasn't been his best for a while. I think, you know, he's gone through a really good spell, Fabian Schär. Now he's going through a little bit of a rocky spell. Having said that, I believe he'll be back to his best once he gets settled again with Botman. I think those two will be absolute tanks again. I just think that they've been, you know, they've been apart for a while now due to Botman's injury. You know, Schär's had to get used to playing with Lascelles again and on the wrong side, which he's done very, very well. Now I think Botman's back. I think those two can settle back into it again and hopefully become the force that they were last season and before Botman got injured, of course. Right, let's move into the midfield. And
one more thing. Do you remember that throwing the tribute through to Schär for that? What was he doing?
Oh, yeah, he sliced it out of play. Yeah, that was awful. But he does that sometimes, doesn't he? If he takes the huff about something, he just wellies the ball into this. It's petulance, isn't it? Yeah.
Hey, don't need it.
Well, clearly Billy is angry with Fabian Schär, and Fabian Schär, you need to do something about that. Right, let's move on to the midfield now, and we'll start with Bruno. Billy.
It's just a game I felt sorry for him because he was trying everything he could to kind of get us going forward. There were some misplaced passes. There was frustration, as always, when we're not, things ain't going right for us. But a lot of the things that were good that we did do came from him. So I'm going to give him a six.
Alex, you're shaking your head there?
Yeah, some of the ratings. Bruno was absolutely sensational, I thought. He was trying to, again, as he's been doing.
I think sensational is a bit of a push, Alex.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I don't think he's... Listen, he made some brilliant touches in that first half, little knock, little passes into the 1-2s that he was doing. But listen, he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders in midfield at the minute. But
can I just mention something? Anonymous, you're doing my head in chat. You're commenting all the time. You've just told us that the midfield was fine, better than the defence, and then you put Bruno, unfortunately, was a 5 or a 4. You're chatting shit. Honestly,
well, Alex,
Bruno, I think, is amazing.
You go ahead with
yours. I don't care. He's chatting shit. No, I think Bruno was absolutely incredible. He is trying to drag this entire team on his own in games like this. He is trying to be a DM and an offensive midfielder. He's actually going out on the right wing. He's nutmegging people. He's trying to be creative. He's trying to make things happen. He set goals up in recent weeks. He was trying to set goals up today. He is trying to drag this team on his own. He really, really is.
So what are you giving him?
I'm going to give him a 7. I thought he was really, really solid in this sort of game.
Alex, you can't ban him for having an opinion.
I know, he said he's doing my... that I'm doing his...
But you've just had a go at him and then you've banned him. That's not right.
Well, explain it then. He said that the midfield were really good and then given a midfielder a 4.
Well, okay, but he's given an opinion.
It's nonsense.
He's not having
a
dig
nonsense.
At you.
It's nonsense. No need you to can't ban say him. The midfield's really good, give people 4s. It doesn't make sense. You have to actually...
To you, it
it's
doesn't.
It's ridiculous,
but,
mate.
You know,
it's ranking. Anonymous is definitely Sean Longstaff and Running Granny. You're right. It's bollocks. It's absolute bollocks. I'm sorry. Chatting shit. Chatting shit.
Alex, you're turning into bloody... Yeah, you're turning into... well,
if he said the midfield was good, he's given Bruno a 4. Of course, knows what he's going to give Sean Longstaff.
Well, I know, but people are like, I'm scared Alex has turned into Saddam Hussein here.
well, hung, apparently.
Billy, what about you? I need to go and unban him, by the way. I'm not having him banned. You know, you could have timed him out, Alex. You just, you know, a little bit harsh, but
I'll get Bruno a 6.
You've given him a 6. And why have you given him a 6, Billy?
Because I don't think anyone deserves higher than a 6, if I'm perfectly honest. But Alex, sorry, but Bruno has got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He is the one player that's trying to do everything all at once, and he can't, clearly. You know, he's our most creative player whilst playing in the defensive role in midfield. He can't do both at the same time. Mm. You know, we're getting caught in transition because Bruno's high up the pitch trying to create something because we have no creativity further up the pitch. You know, it's a terrible situation for him to be in. Yeah, so I'd like to give him more, but the result dictates that I can't give him more than six.
Okay. I've gone with a six as well. For similar reasons you both said, I think he's carrying the midfield. I think that is, you know, he's... Do you know what? I'm leaving anonymous band. By the way, he is carrying the weight of that midfield on his shoulders. And when Joel Linton's not there, and Longstaff's not at the races, he's trying to do everything himself. And some things are coming off for him and some things aren't. So, you know what? Bruno is just, he's putting the effort in. He's not giving up. He's doing what he can. But if he hasn't got those players around him that he needs, you know, a type of player like Bruno needs a Joel Linton alongside him. And without him, it's, you know, crazy. Let's move on to Sean Longstaff. I thought Sean was terrible yesterday. He's been out of form for a couple of games now, and he just, for me, it was a failure, and I think he should have been off at half-time, get Joel Linton on, but instead he waited till we went behind before he brought him on, which I was very disappointed with. So I'm giving him a two. Alex?
It's his worst performance under Eddie Howe, absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
It was a ghost, non-existent. I don't understand how anybody's given him higher than a one. It was atrocious. He should have come off before the end of the first half. He did absolutely nothing in the game. Absolutely nothing. He didn't win a single duel. Not one. He played 71 minutes. He didn't win a physical duel once. Not once. One of his worst games in a black and white shirt. Absolutely atrocious. One all day long. Abysmal.
He dwells on the ball too long. And Billy, we said that yesterday. There was one time, I think we were attacking, and he had the ball just outside the penalty area, and it just slowed everything up and ended up losing the ball, getting knocked off it. And that happened.
It goes to show that Forrest man-marked Miley and Bruno and left Longstaff free. Funny that, because they didn't care about it.
Which is even worse, how he didn't win. I mean, is that fact, Alex, on the stats, that he didn't win a single duel?
Zero duels.
I mean, for the position he plays, that is absolutely shocking, to be honest. That is terrible. Billy?
Well, the figures prove themselves and the eye test proves itself. However, I'm going to sing a song from an old hymn here. What's Sean Longstaff's greatest quality? It's the energy. He hasn't got any energy. And when he hasn't got any energy, he's a waste of time being on the pitch. I'll give him a one for managing to find the pitch. But he was absolutely awful. But I'm going to give it the caveat that he's absolutely cream cracking, because no energy from him whatsoever yesterday. That's his greatest quality. Without that, he's nothing.
Wow. Okay. Look, fact to facts. Right. Let's move on to Lewis Miley, Billy.
Very bright. Some great vision, some lovely touches. Give him a six.
A six. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Miley a seven. I thought he was a bright spark yesterday, one of the bright sparks in our team. I thought he was very composed on the ball again. Of course, had that shot just wide. I thought he did okay. I thought he was one of the bright sparks yesterday. Alex?
Why did I get stick for giving Bruno a seven? But it's absolutely okay for you to give Miley a seven.
Well,
that's a bit weird.
I don't know.
That's very weird. But I agree with you completely. Miley deserves a seven, in my opinion, as well. He 95% pass accuracy, 37 out of 39 passes. He misplaced two passes the entire match. He actually won some physical duels. He was fairly solid. Fine. The midfield wasn't linked right to the defence. That we got absolutely destroyed on transition.
Yeah,
I'm not going to blame the 17-year-old. I thought he was solid with what he was tasked with doing. He gets a seven. I thought he was really good.
Billy?
Yeah, I think I said six, but I think the two, Bruno and him, were trying to cover three places because Longstaff was that non-existent.
Yeah.
And that's why we were getting caught in transition all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to get... I mean, it's look, I think Miley is standing out above a lot of players at the minute, which is, you know, it says a lot for where we are at the moment when the 17-year-old kid is outshining a lot of what we believe to be quality players. And yeah, I saw that as well, Paul Tully, about people having to go Miley for no pace. I mean, you're right, his position doesn't dictate pace.
He's got a little bit of pace over the first 5 yards, which is what you need, because he's got long legs, he's long-limbed.
But also, Alex, he's getting into those really good positions as well, where he's getting down to the byline and getting crosses in. He's, you know, he's getting to the edge of the box, he's getting runs into the box. So I think he's doing okay.
I think he's got a long stride. I think he doesn't look as quick as other players that are running.
Do you know what he reminds me a little bit, Billy? Chris Waddle, like lanky and, you know.
Yeah, just, he's got a long stride. He's deceptively quick, I think.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, look, he's 17. He's got he's got some building up to do.
Can I just mention, I think the best part about his game, the reason you know he's next level, is not just the composure. It's the fact that he can also run to the 18-yard box and dance past like five people when they can't get the ball off him. That's stupid. Like, when you've got four or five senior pros in the Premier League and the 17-year-old, who is a midfielder and quite lanky, they just can't get the ball off him. His awareness of where they're going to move, their positioning, their next move, where he's got the ball, where he's going to take the ball. It's that for me. It's the fact that we love the fact that he can stand in midfield and do lovely, nice, neat passing. His positioning solid. That's great. But the fact that he can also join the right wing and start joining in with flicks and tricks with Bruno, that's different. That's very, very different, because Sean can't do that.
Yeah.
Miggy can't do that.
I agree. Very much agree. And I think, you know what? What Miley has as well is just a wonderful football brain at such a young age. He's got composure. He's got, you know, so much maturity about him for a young player. Right, let's move to the front three. Billy, we'll start with Anthony Gordon.
Thought he was good first half. Thought he ran out of steam second half. I'll give him a six. No, I'll give him a five, sorry. Five.
Okay. Alex?
Yeah, I think a five's fair. I completely agree. I thought he was really solid first half. Fell off in the second half. Again, he's someone that's played all the minutes, all of the minutes. He's played far too much football for the way he plays and the role we've given him. I understand that some of them have now recovered, and we can't use that excuse for a lot of the players. But for Gordon, I think that's still a kind of a fair point. He's, you know, some people have mentioned the injury. Yeah, I think it's fair to talk about Gordon and fatigue and injury. He really is just playing through it at the moment.
Yeah.
I did think his shot was really good, actually. That one shot he got off that got blocked. Montiel, if you go and watch that shot, if you go and watch the highlights, I don't know if it's in the highlights compilation, but that block from Montiel was absolutely ridiculous. Like, that was insane. Like, that was going in. It was a great first half from Gordon, to be honest. It was okay. Tried lots of crosses as well, tried a few different things, but they just ran out of steam in the second half.
I'm going to give him a five. To me, I think he still looks a little bit injured. You know, I'm not sure that Anthony Gordon's fully fit fatigue-wise, or the fact that that injury he got at Chelsea is still, you know, giving him a little bit of a jip. We know what Anthony Gordon can do, and hopefully now, you know, we're getting a little bit of extra rest between games. That can only benefit Anthony Gordon to be at full pelt.
Go watch the highlights.
I don't think Eddie's management of Gordon has been that great to Gordon or to the team, actually, in the past few weeks.
Yeah. Right, on to the other side, Miggy Almiron. He gets a one from me. He was absolutely dreadful yesterday. I don't see how anybody can, stick up for him on that performance. Just absolutely... what was that?
It's not an airport, mate.
Alex has an opinion, but if you don't like it, you know, turn me right off the channel, then bye. So don't let the door hit you on the way out. Honestly, if you can't put up with people's opinions, then don't watch the channel. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's no skin off our nose. If you don't like honesty and a bit of debate here and there, then don't watch. Simple as that. And don't call out people for it either, for having an opinion, no matter what you think. Alex is passionate. I'm passionate. Billy's passionate. If you don't like the passion and the love we have for the club and the brutal honesty that we have on the channel, see you later. Simple as that. So, yeah, I'm giving Miggy a one. I just think he was just dreadful. And I'm sick of it, to be honest now. I really am. I'm sick to death of it. That move for the goal yesterday when he tried to pass, he should have just smashed it in the net with his left foot. We complained that, you know, he's got no right foot, but he didn't even want to shoot on his left foot yesterday. Just rotten. Absolutely rotten. Billy?
When you've got a player that's that one-footed, he'd rather use his strong foot even though it's facing goal. You've got a problem. And that was an absolute appalling piece of play.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the own goal saga, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think he deserves one. I mean, one's generous. But we have to give a mark, so one's the lowest one we can give, so one it is. It was absolutely piss poor, awful yesterday. But again, I think he's played way too many games.
Mm. Yep. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think he gets a one just for nearly putting it in our own net. That's not good enough. I mean, I know non-league managers that would sub you for that straight away. Get off my pitch. You're not, but you go sit in the room. Like, that's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. Yeah. And we've not even started to talk about what you guys have mentioned with the right, being super left footed. And he should have created something for the team yesterday, whether it was an assist or a goal for himself. Mm. He made, and this is what's frustrating, and he deserves higher than one for this, because he creates it, he gets in the right places, he does the hard work, and he just can't do anything with it. Mm. And it's so frustrating, because when he's confident and when he's in a good run of form, he can. But at the moment, is it him reverting to type? Do we need him to be in great form to be putting stuff away? On current evidence, it kind of looks like it, which is a shame. I was hoping we could maybe turn the purple patch and just elevate him permanently. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a tricky one. But yeah, for the nearly own goal, can't give him any more than the one. That's not acceptable in professional football, I'm afraid.
I'm going with Isak for a seven. I thought Isak was a very bright spot. I was very impressed when he came on against Luton. I saw a lot of him, I saw a hungry Isak again, and I saw it again on Saturday. He was coming deep for the ball. He was trying to take players on, obviously scored the penalty. Not the best penalty I've ever seen in the world, but it hit the back of the net, and that's all that counts at the end of the day. But for me, Isak was much better. I want to run at players, so I want to see more of that from Isak. So a seven for me. Alex?
I mean, this is going to cause a lot of other people to get irritated with me in the chat, and fine, get irritated with me. He's not a striker. He's absolutely not a striker. He's a wide forward. He's 100% a wide forward. And that is my opinion. And he's a wide forward. Mm. That is it. He's a good penalty taker. He's clinical. He's great at picking his head up and running with the ball. We need to get him in positions where he's doing more of that. And isolated up front is not the way. Because especially with inverted wingers, because by the time the ball gets anywhere near him, he's got to try and win a physical battle with someone. Which is not playing to his strengths at all.
Yeah. Billy?
I don't even know if I rated him. Have I rated him?
No.
Seven.
Okay. Billy?
He looks sharp, doesn't he? And he's got a little bit of determination and desire that he didn't have a few weeks back when he was playing injured, basically. I think he was playing injured. And I think he was another one that was mismanaged by Howe when he was completely dead on his feet at Paris and the games after that. 6 out of 10. He's a bloody good player. One of our best, if not the best.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to the substitutes now. We'll quickly rattle through the subs. Tino Livramento, I think, was he the first to come on, Alex?
So Tino and Callum came on at the same time, 55 minutes for Burn and, and Miggy.
Right, so we'll rate both of them together, and I'm gonna give Livramento a six. I thought he did okay when he came on. Callum couldn't get into the game, as far as I could see. I'm gonna give Callum a four. Billy,
yeah, 6 and 4 for me. Tino's a much better defender than Dan Burn will ever be. Officer's much more going forward, also. So 6 for him. And like you say, Callum Wilson, no service, and when you don't give him service, he's a kind of a waste of a player, really. So 4. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alex?
Tino 5, Callum 4. Really irritated with Callum in the last 5 minutes. Well, happy with him in the last 5 minutes of the game, but it irritated me overall. In the last 5 minutes, he suddenly perked up and realised we needed a goal and started running left wing, trying to combine with people, stood up as a leader, We needed that for 35 minutes, Callum, not five. I loved it when he did it, but why couldn't he do it? Why couldn't he have done that half an hour earlier? I don't know if you remember what I mean. He ran to take a short corner, ran into the box. He was trying to start 1-2s. Where was that from 55 minutes? That's what we needed. He's got it. Do it. I know we didn't score from it, but just try it, because it's you don't have to score. You're not going to score all the time. Fine, but do that, because that was really good.
Yeah, and I think the final subs were, was it Joe Linton and Hall came on?
Joe Linton 71, and then Hall for Botman on 79.
Yeah, for me, that Joe Linton came on too late. Five for Joe Linton, and Lewis Hall gets a five for me as well. I mean, I can't, you know, they didn't really have any impact on the game. Alex?
Yeah, fives for both. I mean, we had the ball pretty much the whole time in that period, and we were pushing for the goal. They didn't really do anything wrong, but they didn't really do anything right. So right in the middle, fives.
Yeah. Billy?
Yeah, five apiece. I thought Hall looked actually a little bit brighter than what he has done of late. The fact we saw him at all was an upgrade on being crap, I suppose. But yeah, he's got some ability with his left foot without a shadow of a doubt. So I think we need to see more of him, a lot more of him. We need to see more Joe Linton as well, because without him in that midfield, we look a bit flimsy.
And finally, the manager, Eddie Howe. Billy, I'll give you the grace of this.
Cheers. I'll give him one.
You're welcome.
It was awful. Team selection was poor. Substitutions were reactive. 1 out of 10.
Okay. Alex?
I'll give him a 3. I liked the changes in the first half. It got us on the front foot, and it ultimately got us the penalty that got us the first goal. I liked the substitutions, but they were all a bit too late for me. And I think they were probably, the substitutions were quite predictable anyway. But 3, because I feel like a lot of those players should have started the game. We need to fix this, getting hurt on transition. There were a few mismatches. And it was a naive second half. Like, you know, the first goal to equalise, it happens. Fine, it happens. But then the two more in the second half wasn't really good enough. It was poor.
I'm going back in the middle of yous two. I'm going to give him a 2. Team lineup was wrong for me. He's got to stop playing his favourites. He's got to go with players in form instead of thinking, I've got the tried and trusted. It doesn't work anymore. You've got to play the players in form. And I thought he should have been brave enough to make those substitutions at half time. He wasn't. And that was our downfall, because, like Billy said, he reacted too late, because we were 2-1 down when he made the substitutions that should have been made at half time. So for me, it's 2.
I mean, sometimes you can be reactive when you don't see things coming, but if you didn't see them transition goals coming, then you're a blind bloke on a galloping horse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was blatantly obvious that was going to happen at some time.
Well, a blind bloke on a galloping horse.
They gave us plenty of warning signs in the first half.
Of course they did.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go, guys. That is the review done and dusted. Thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget to hit the like button on the way out if you have enjoyed the show. And if you are new to the channel, please do subscribe. It is free to do so. Join this incredible community. And, of course, don't forget to hit the notification bell, which will let you know when we schedule our live shows or we upload any recorded ones. And, of course, you can become a member of the Toon Review by hitting the join button as well if you're watching this on a rerun. Thank you for your super chats and new memberships, and to the Mod Squad, to Billy and Alex. And thank you to you guys for joining us tonight. We will be back again tomorrow. Now, obviously, I'm just wondering what kind of show we can put together tomorrow. I mean, do we have a transfer show, Alex?
We have a type of transfer show, yeah.
Okay, right. We'll do. So
I don't want to give it away because people will copy it, but we'll tell you.
Absolutely. So there you go. We are doing a transfer show tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I'll be back at 11 in the morning with the latest news. So until then, enjoy the rest of the evening, folks, and we'll see you soon. Good night.
How are the lads and nurses? Come back and check our degree.